It all started actually over a couple of limes and the price we were paying, which was $2, just on 6.5 years ago. And from that, this has evolved. And the interesting thing is Carolyn was studying undergraduate architecture at the time. So there's been a lot of knowledge come in through that on a more in-depth approach to how we've had the plan roll out. So it now includes 11 streets within the design.
Carolyn, how did that come about? So I imagine there was maybe a keen bunch of people in one street, but clearly it's really evolved a long way from there.
Yeah, it started with us deciding to plant limes, and then we had a discussion about where would be the best place to plant those, and we knew that we could grow some limes, and we knew that we'd have a lot of limes once the tree matured. So it evolved into this whole notion that if we put the limes out on the nature strip, when those were cropping abundantly, people would just be able to, as they're walking past, be able to pick a lime. What kind of started as 24 citrus trees down one street has now evolved over the last 7 years into 6 streets that grow stuff very extensively and 11 streets in the precinct that have access to foraging that food from the verge.
Car centre. Yeah.
However, I have noticed that you're both waving to everybody who drives past, so there's clearly a really great sense of community in this area.
Yeah, Duncan in particular knows just about everyone.
Including the dogs and the children and visitors and...
But evolving out of this notion that, you know, we've got this public realm that's engaging and social, people now stop and talk. They wave when they're driving past. They'll stop and wind down the window and have a discussion if you're standing on the side of the street. So there's a real sense of cohesion in this particular neighbourhood, and people do know each other.
The benefits are endless. You just keep discovering new aspects on this topic all the time. As we go around, we'll show you the kids section, for example, that actually just morphed out of an Easter get-together of families, and it was operating a couple of weeks before we fully realised what was happening in that neighbourhood. So that was wonderful spontaneity. And as you walk, the spontaneity of the experience of what's next around the next corner, what's changed since I last walked through here. And in that, we've also establishing a complete habitat. We now have a density of birds that haven't been experienced in here for decades. And, of course, we're sitting in the old historical swale area here, which has so many things in relation to climate advantage, water advantage, total habitat advantage, actually.
So structurally, the swales are a mechanism that actually feed the roots of our trees. So the water, rather than the channel and curb, the water sits in the grass swale and then provides a source of water for the roots of the trees. And we're lucky in this part of Budrum that the historical swale is still within the streets that we are growing in.
So there was never any curb and channel on this side?
There was never any in the whole area. So Budrum was historically cut up without curb and channeling. It was historically cut with the grass growing to the street edge. And in terms of design, you know, that is kind of 101 sustainability, because you're actually capturing the water in the grass and then it's filtering.
Yeah, it's a complete filter system. The old farming and that's been doing it for thousands of years to protect crops and that. And then you look at previous civilizations. The swales have even been put into cultivation still in Australia to catch that minimum water flow.
We're standing on the corner of Fielding Street and Windlawn Avenue. So is this where the first urban gardens went in?
This is massive, and we'll take you around to that original area, and that'll give you a bigger scale perception. There's so much ground here where more commercial farmers were borderline.
Wow. All right, so let's go for a walk.
Okay, sounds great, Annie. Let's go. Look, where we are here is the first trial planting of the olive trees, and that's significant in so many ways. Chris from Hungry Field, through his business, was buying organic olive oil locally off the range, and he was telling him about what we're doing. So they were kind enough to give him some olive trees to see what we could achieve with it. And from that, we now have those beautiful trees there about 4 years later.
And are you organised to the point where, as a community, you plan what's going to be planted around your different properties? Do you have like a overall planning and design approach, or do you just leave it to each individual landowner as to what they want to grow?
You have to have a general vision and direction, but flexibility in it. Because as you travel, you'll see the evidence of this. There's no set pattern of any discussion with the external landscape. Each street is different and is according to right back to where people were basically born and the instinctive reactions. So when they say they'd like to be in it, you then have a conversation with them, over coffee, whatever. And then it's basically an emotional thing, all of this. Food is very emotional for all of us in so many ways. So we recognise that, of course. And then we look at all the restraints, physical, vegetation-wise, etc. And we work with everything as a resource, even if it's normally thought of as a problem. Because we've always had the policy, particularly with our main skeletal structure, which is our trees, there is never a failure, which means you've got to do it and do it correctly, even if it's slower. That way you see the outcomes.
In terms of what we grow, we try and stick with the crops that yield well. So in the 11 streets that are within our precinct, we've got about 200 households. So to kind of accommodate the needs of 200 households and being welcome to forage through the neighbourhood, we try and focus on things that will produce a decent crop. So avocados, bananas, that stuff where you get volume-based
pawpaws
outcome.
I see across the road here.
Pawpaws.
Looking very healthy.
Yes. Turmeric, galangal.
Ginger.
So we do all the rhizomes and we do some spices.
Now we're doing the turmeric and the galangal in big quantities now. We're almost to the stage, we are talking hundreds of kilo already per year of those products.
Is it organic?
We're not officially accredited, but we use no spray. It's nature. For example, where we are here, we grew 300 cabbages last year in this section further around. And it was only the cabbages that were back on the outlying areas, away from the density of vegetation, that we had the cabbage moth problem. And it's because we got this incredible bird population, which is a major contributor. Plus the soils. You do nothing without the soils being finely tuned.
So we're very much designing a whole neighbourhood around the whole principle of permaculture. And for us, it's about this, about neighbourhoods, not just the Urban Food Street neighbourhood, but neighbourhoods right across the country being designed in a structural manner that accommodates people being able to do this sort of stuff. So not necessarily telling people you have to do it, but we are going to provide you the structural capacity to grow some food in the public realm if you'd like to.
You've said 200 families as part of this now at the moment and growing. Has anybody ever said to you, no, I don't want to be a part of it?
Look, everybody can join or whatever, but you're still part of the neighbourhood. And late at night, one of the problems of cooking is you never have the right couple of herbs you need at 6, 7 or 8 o'clock. But, hey, it's the neighbourhood. You go down, you just take whatever you need for that meal in the herbs. So that keeps a car off the road, makes it easier for the meal, and it's also healthier because you're walking. That's what the neighbourhood's about. Look, we even get them coming down and just doing the work to be just out there in the air with other people, doing something positive and getting an outcome, which is becoming very evident now as we're getting some structure in place.
All right, shall we keep strolling?
Yep, and of course we have Bees, which is run by a subsection on its own. And they've all upskilled and a couple of them have done their licences and they're very passionate about it, so that's wonderful. So with everyone finding a passion, it opens up the possibilities of so many more overlays. We're already facing closed loop. The understanding's now evolving that if you've got grass and that, as long as it's clear of the common problems, we need every bit of it to sweat down the stockpiles of mulch, etc. Rocks, you don't part with any rocks anymore because that goes to the next fence line that wants dragon fruit. So most of our mulches of a small nature, we're evolving very fast to retain it with the understanding it can become a resource. So the soils that we're now using are coming from stuff 6 months, 2 years away, and it's coming back as pure mulched black soil instead of Budrum red. So when we skim a new garden area, everything stays. All the mulch, all the dirt, all the bits of stick, tree roots, whatever, and it sweats down, never leaves the neighbourhood, no vehicle movements, no emissions, it's all here.
I'm keen to see Banana Street.
Aesthetically, it's a beautiful street, and who would have thought that adding, miniature bananas to a streetscape would create the aesthetics that it has.
So what kind of bananas? You said miniature bananas.
These are all under licence. Most of them are Asian bananas.
This street that we're standing in has got 16 houses in it, so it's quite a small street from the bananas that we have growing, which is not quite the entire street. Last year we produced over 900 kilos of bananas, which were distributed back within the neighbourhoods.
You almost cracked the ton. That's amazing. Well done.
So that just gives people an idea of the quantity that can actually be produced in this kind of setting.
Citrus Street is just up a little bit from Stephen Street, and as its name would suggest.
Yeah, so it's in Clitheroe Avenue. We don't actually call it Citrus Street, we call it The Grove. And that's where the whole concept originated, with the 24 citrus trees down one side of the street. And it was from that kind of very simple act that the immediate neighbours around us started saying, OK, well, what can we plant? We'd like to plant something. And it spread out like a disease almost right through the neighbourhood. People started saying, I want to do something, I want to do something. And I think when people understand the advantages of being able to walk around the block to pick a lime, instead of getting in the car and going up to the supermarket, that induces greater participation.
So how many varieties of citrus would you have through here?
I'm not sure of the exact number of varieties, but we have limes, we have lemons, we have mandarins, we have oranges, we have lemonades, we have kaffir lime, we have finger lime. I think we've pretty much got almost one of everything.
It's just got a real sense of peace about it too, Carolyn.
Yes, the vibe in here is always very friendly, very welcoming.
Duncan and Carolyn, thank you so much for showing us through Urban Food Street today. It's just been a pleasure to be here. I've enjoyed every minute.
Hey, look, it's been great walking through with you. Anytime you want to come back with the seasonal movement, by all means, and we can show you something different as patterns change.
Thank you. It's been great to show you around.